Our scripture reading this morning comes from Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 25. Matthew 4, 18 through 25. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. It says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.' They immediately left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them. Great multitudes followed him from Galilee and from Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan." That's Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 25.
It's good to be here this morning. So good to see everyone who is here. I want to let you know that if you're visiting with us, you are indeed our honored guests, and we are thankful for your presence. When we think about this month, we're talking about increasing our influence in San Angelo. And as I was considering this particular lesson and thinking about the lessons to follow, everything is kind of gearing up to the gospel meeting that we are about to embark on. And we're looking forward to those who will be with us, those who will be visiting with us, those who will be speaking to us. Hope, pray, and trust that we'll do our part in being here and also inviting others to come and to feast upon the word and the will of God. And so, as I was considering some preliminary points for us to consider, I was thinking about the ministry of Jesus. And if you will, turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 3. And it caused me to think about the ministry of Jesus and how it began. And the Bible demonstrates to us in Matthew, chapter 3, verses 13 through 17, that Jesus, he came to John to be baptized, and John was refusing. And Jesus responded masterfully because he understood that he needed to fulfill righteousness. However, John was included in that. And so John, said something that was pretty interesting in verse number 15. He said, "Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." And so John was very much part of the ministry of Jesus and getting it started, if you will. And so when we think about this, we see immediately after Jesus was baptized, the Bible teaches us that the Spirit descended upon him as a dove. There was a voice that came forth from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased," as he comes up out of the water. And then the Spirit in chapter 4 takes him into the wilderness, and his ministry is continuing, if you will. But what do we mean by that? Because right after baptism, we see that he is challenged, tempted, tested by the devil to get him off track, to get him to deny his God, to get him to go against the will of God. And so on three different occasions, at least that's what we have recorded, in chapter 4, verse number 4, verse 7, and verse 10, Jesus defeats the devil by "it is written." And it caused me to think about something, because if we're going to defeat the devil in our lives, it's going to be by the same means. by the word of God, through the application of God's word, submitting to the word and the will of God, just as Jesus did. So in verse number 17 of Matthew chapter 4, we see that Jesus' message was the same as John's message. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Don't have time to go into the background of that, but John had been put in prison, and now Jesus is picking up the spiritual baton, if you will, and he's going to be preaching the same message. Now, our message is slightly different. Our message is repent, for the kingdom of heaven is here. John's message was repent, for the kingdom of heaven is coming. Jesus' message was repent, for the kingdom of heaven is coming. And you have those who truly believe that the kingdom of heaven is still coming. But friends, the kingdom of heaven is here because we're in it. Colossians 1:13. We're in the kingdom of God. We have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of his love. And so our message is repent and get in the kingdom, get in the church, get in the Christ. So in Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 22, Jesus immediately begins selecting those men that were given unto him. And he says something very interesting in verse number 20. If you take notice of that, verse 19, rather, he says, then he said to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. And so it made me ask the question again. If I needed to follow Jesus, will I stop everything that I'm doing to do that? I should. If I'm going to follow Jesus, am I going to say what he says? I should. And if I'm going to follow Jesus, shall I go where he tells me to go? I should. And so you think about these great men that were being chosen, and they were being chosen to follow him. And so Jesus, again, as he is beginning this great ministry, he begins influencing them for righteousness. He begins influencing his disciples for righteousness. But if you take notice of something that I thought was very, very interesting, look at verse number 23 through verse 25. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them. Great multitudes followed him from Galilee and from Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan. Now, I wanted to take my time reading that because when we think about our title this morning, and we think about this month as we are increasing our presence or our influence in San Angelo, and perhaps you're not living in San Angelo now, you're living somewhere else, well, you can still take your presence and increase it where you live. Here at this congregation, we want to increase our presence. And we want to be intentional, just as Jesus was intentional. We, as followers of Jesus Christ, must be intentional as well. And so we see the work of God through Jesus Christ in verses 23 through verse number 25. He teaches, he preaches, he heals. Now, take notice. But his fame, there it is right there. Brother Freisinger, his fame, his influence, his presence was increasing all over the land. People were getting to know him, hearing about him, hearing his teaching, listening to his preaching, hearing about his healings. And it caused me to think about the word study that I did some years ago. And the word healing or healed comes from the Greek word therapeuo, where we get our English word therapy. That's very interesting. Jesus, in the real sense of the word, being the Son of God, administered therapy. But in the real sense of the word, therapy is the idea of making one whole, healing one, making one better. So Jesus, as his fame, his influence, reached far and wide. His presence, his influence was increasing. Put in your notes, Acts 10:38, as he was anointed by the Holy Spirit, went about doing good, healing, and doing all of the things that God, our Father, told him to do. But it caused me to break down the phrase even more so. If you look at the word sick there, take notice of something that's very interesting here. All sick people, literally in the Greek, all people who were miserable, diseased people, all people who have ailments, tormented people, all people who hit rock bottom, demon-possessed people, all people who were under the influence, epileptic people, all people who are lunatic and crazy, that's the definitions. All paralyzed people, those who suffered from relaxed nerves. And I thought about that as it relates to the definition and how these individuals were going through these particular things, and they were bringing these people to Jesus, and we know that the word of God is relevant. Now, it caused me to think about demon possession in there. Well, that can't be relevant, because the only way to rid demon possession, you still have to have the miraculous. And we don't have that today. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 8 through 13. Go back and do your own study. That's not part of this lesson. We're talking about increasing our presence, our influence in San Angelo. However, when you think of the definition, which means to be under the influence, we got people who are still under the influence of things that seem like demonic possession. Now, that's interesting, and I don't have time to deal with that, but I truly wanted to, so I got to discipline myself. And so people everywhere were being exposed to the goodness of God. Why? Because they were bringing these people to Jesus, and Jesus was healing these people. He was teaching these people. He was preaching to these people. And it caused me to think about the Apostle Paul and the words that he spoke in Romans 2 and verse number 4 as it relates to the goodness of God. What, Leon? Leads to repentance. That's why God was doing those things. That's why the Lord was doing those things. He wasn't healing people, teaching people just to be doing it. There was a desired end. And so when you think of increasing our presence in San Angelo, we're not just being benevolent to people. We're not just teaching people. We're not edifying people just to be doing it. We're trying to bring glory to God and to broaden the borders of the kingdom of God. Amen. That's why we're doing what we're doing. And so we want to increase that. We want to make sure that we are engaged in good works. So put these in your notes. Don't have time to deal with it. Titus chapter 3, verse number 1, verse 8, and verse 14. And so when we think about leading individuals to repentance, and we think about how the faith of those, especially in the first century, was growing more and more, it caused me to think about Romans chapter 1, verse 8, and 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 8. It's actually in the article that I wrote. Now, I want to challenge us, because I know very few read those articles that are written. There's a little time that goes into those articles, y'all. You could read them. There's time that goes into writing them, and bless Sister Smithy's heart. She got to edit them. I mean, bless her heart, you know. Y'all think I write that good? No. I got help. Come on, y'all help me out. So I'm trying to help y'all out. Read the articles. Why? It's in line with the message. And it's actually designed, and we get it on Wednesday for you to get a preview of what is going to be talked about. And it may make for a good Bible study with your family. Nevertheless, when we think about some of these things, this lesson is designed to be very practical from this point forward. Just wanted to kind of break down how Jesus began his ministry, how some of the people that he was healing, what they were dealing with. And friends, we have some of the same things today in our great little old town, San Angelo, and in our great state of Texas, and of course, in our nation. We're seeing all manners of things. Let me give you a few things to consider. This world is filled with people who are living for themselves, and they have become professional in their arrogance. We're in a world where people are attempting to get right the wrong way, and they have involved themselves in sinful activities in life. And these things, now watch this, has caused mental, emotional, physical, marital, social, professional, financial, and spiritual problems. Yes, it has. And we see it. We see it all around us. Unless our heads are in the sand, we see it around us. But I know it's not, because I go to the gym all the time. I talk to people all the time. And people I talk to, some of them are not spiritual at all, and they see what's going on. Friends, we're in the book. We're in the Word of God. We're increasing in knowledge. We're abounding in faith. We got to see what's going on. It's an evil world that we're living in. And just as in the days of Noah, how God saw the wickedness of man, friends, the days are evil even today. And so we can't walk around as if people are not strung out on drugs and alcohol. People are not strung out on sexual sin, strung out on addictions, pills, porn, and power. Yet the Apostle Paul would say in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 10, all things are lawful to me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful to me, Brother Brian, watch this, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Now that's a very interesting point he makes there. In other words, Paul is saying those things that are lawful, those things that are not sinful, they should not govern me. They should not be leading me. They should not be running my life. Why? Because I have a Lord. His name is Jesus. He's the one that should be running my life. But we live in a town where we see a little bit of everything too. And even though it's not on the scale of Dallas, Houston, San Antonio, Las Vegas, Los Angeles, just because it's not on that scale doesn't mean we don't see it. We see it. We see people who are living lies and living their life in lies. And here we are as the people of God, who are the light of the world, the salt of the earth, that city that is set upon a hill. And friends, we're looking for opportunities to help them out of those lies because they're in bondage. And so Jesus says, as it relates to the truth, it sets you free. Sets you free from what? Sets you free from the lie. And so we have an obligation. We have people who are looking for wisdom. Wisdom for their homes, their personal lives, their decision-making, their future. And so I want to break down that word wisdom for a few minutes. From the Greek word sophia. And the idea there is that information that can actually help one to see the end at the beginning. We ought to be able, as the people of God, as we go out and we're influencing San Angelo, we ought to be able to take the word of God and let folk know that if you keep going in that direction, this is the end. Amen. And truth be told, as the people of God, we ought to be able to go to the word of God and get everything that we need as it pertains to life and godliness and know that if I make this decision, this is going to be the end of it. And so it caused me to think about this. People are looking for wisdom, godly answers. They're looking for wisdom, spiritual guidance. They're looking for wisdom, rational responses. They're looking for wisdom. And so here we are as the people of God, as Christians, as we're trying to do our best to be the best influence we can to offer a precise passage or a precise concept or a precise idea for the problem they're having. And so usually 9 times out of 10 when I'm talking to people, usually I have a proverb that addresses the situation. It's amazing what Solomon offers. When you look at Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, those are some great books. You can refer to those books, and 9 times out of 10, when I'm talking to people, I refer them to some type of wisdom that come forth from the book of Proverbs. I'm not saying it's the only book, but 9 times out of 10, Solomon spoke on it. That's very interesting. And so if we're going to increase our presence, friends, we have to understand that we got to be in the book ourselves. But let me mention this. Maybe you haven't heard of it. Maybe you have. There's something that is brewing nationally right now. And I don't understand it. However, it is what it is. It's the case of Lindsey Clancy. Have anybody heard about that? It's madness that's going on with that case. Regardless of what people may think, you have people who are actually saying that they're okay with what she did. She killed 3 of her kids. But Brother Mike, you don't understand the mental strain that she had. Okay, I may not. But the end result is we got 3 dead babies. And we have people, Brother Ryan, that are gloating behind it. If anything, you're not gloating behind it. As a child of God, I'm not happy that 3 babies lost their lives. And I'm not happy about a nation that is actually saying, I don't see nothing wrong with it. Well, if anything, you ought to see something wrong with the mental decline of the woman. You ought to see that she took 3 babies' lives. But that's where we are. And unfortunately, friends, we got to deal with that. And we have to ask ourselves, what side of the spiritual ladder are we going to be on when it comes to that? People are looking for answers to their questions, their concerns, their issues in life. And so 2 things that we ought to be providing. Number 1, 2 Corinthians 8 and verse number 21, we ought to be providing honest answers. Evelyn and I was watching a movie yesterday, chick flick. And really, she watched them because of me. She don't like them. It's the truth. Sorry, Chad. I'm still a man. Chad went, I'm sorry. I like them. It is what it is. But anyway, we're watching it, and the woman was just dead honest. She was honest. She was honest with an arrogant man who was a billionaire, just honest with him. From day one, from the time that she met him, she was honest. And I'm over there sitting in my chair, and I'm wiping. I know, Daniel, we're good, right? Daniel, I'm wiping. And I said, Evelyn, Pat, I said, pause it. Am I lying? We need more honesty. We need people to be more honest. Amen. Not have this pretense because someone has some type of influence, power, prestige, money. Well, I'm going to tell them what they want to hear. Well, the woman's brother, that was him. And I said, Evelyn, pause it. I said, now he's the problem in the world today. Placating this guy. Giving him what he wants. Saying what he wants to hear. And Brother Brian, we see that all the time. And so something else goes, Evelyn, pause it. There are lessons. Now I'm saying that, friends, you know, you're watching a movie with your family. There's nothing wrong with pausing it. But hold on, it's about to get good. But if there's a lesson you can teach your children and your family, you need to do that. Because this is education, friends. And so we got people living in lies, and they have lied to themselves. And here we are. We're going to provide them some honest answers, 2 Corinthians 8, verse 21. We're going to offer them hope when they're in a hopeless situation. Now, turn to Hebrews chapter 6 and look at verses 18 and 19. And the reason why I want to read this is because the world that we live in, these people have lied to themselves for so long that they believe it, but that's not really the problem. The problem is that they have lied themselves for so long that they want you to believe it. No. You want to sit there and lie to yourself, you go right ahead. But I don't have to believe your lie. And just because you believe it, and just because I may not understand it, doesn't mean I got to accept it. Friends, as the church, when people are lying to themselves, we need to give them some type of hope that they can come out of that lie. Because you can't please God in the lie. Just like you can't get help in the dark. You got to come out of the darkness if you're going to get some help. You can't be in the closet and get help from God. And so here comes the church. We're influencing the world. We're influencing San Angelo. But what are we offering? We're offering the same thing that we took advantage of as members of the church. We ran for refuge. We ran for a place where we can run and hide. From who? From the one that's trying to take us out. Now, that goes back to the Old Testament under the Levitical system as it relates to the six cities of refuge. You go back and you read that and study that. But this is what the Hebrews writer is referring to. So take notice of something in Hebrews chapter 6, starting in verse number 18. Here he says that by two unchangeable things, immutable, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we may have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil. Friends, we ran for safety. We ran for hope. And so we're trying to offer that to someone else as well. Now, go back to Titus chapter 3. And let's take notice of the Apostle Paul, who puts himself in the same situation, if you will, as it relates to those who were going through a difficult time. And here Paul puts himself in the same equation as them. Titus chapter 3, starting at verse number 3. Take notice of what your Bible says. For we ourselves also once foolish, were once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. How? Through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on all of us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Friends, did you hear that? Did you see that? Paul puts himself in the same equation. He understood what it meant to be a sinner. He understood what it meant to be hopeless. And friends, here we are offering honest answers and offering hope to a hopeless people. And so what should we do to increase our presence? Well, there's a few things that I want. I want us to recognize that the world we live in is like the days, Brother Leon, of the marketplace, where discussions took place of every caliber, every subject. Well, the marketplace today, we would say online, people online having discussions, Facebook, you name it, and they're having these heated discussions. Well, you got people now, they don't even know how to have discussions face to face anymore. They don't even know how to talk to people anymore. Friends, if we're going to increase our presence in San Angelo, we need to get amongst the people. We need to be talking to people. But Brother Mike, I'm not good with talking to people. Well, at one time I wasn't either. But you put yourself out there and you get to talking to people. And it's okay sometimes not to say the right thing. You know, it's all right to say, you know what, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. Or I shouldn't have said it that way. You know, I was unlearned when I spoke because you had me in a corner and I didn't know where to go, so I just said something. You know, we do that. You know, it's okay to say, you know what, I shouldn't have said that. That's okay. And so when I think about the marketplace of the day, I think about how our marketplace or the people we come in contact with, perhaps on the job, perhaps in the break room, perhaps at the grocery store, perhaps you're waiting at some car lot, some dealership, perhaps you're just waiting and you're having a conversation with someone and the conversation goes from here to there. And the next thing you know, you're exchanging information. And the next thing you know, hey, why don't you come to 9th and Main, and I think you'll hear something that'll be worthy of you listening to. Putting yourself out there. So here's some things that I think will be interesting for us. Because our modern day marketplace, well, we need to frequent it And we need to be putting ourselves in the position to say something. They at least need to see Jesus Christ and him crucified in our lives. Number one, here's some questions. Number one, do we have the spiritual wisdom to insert ourselves into people's lives and help them? Do we have the spiritual wisdom to insert ourselves into people's lives in order to help them? Put in your notes, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 15. Are we ready to give an answer? Are we ready? Now, you fill in the blank. Y'all are smart. You're wise. But sometimes we just need that practical advice that's going to help us to move forward. Number two, do we have the physical strength? Now, think about this one. And capability to help individuals. Why do I ask that question? Do we have the physical strength and capability to help individuals? Because sometimes life makes us tired. We're rearing kids, we're married, not married, we've got a job that we spend 12, 14 hours a day on, we're tired. I don't want to be bothered with nobody, don't even want to be bothered with my own house, but I got to go out there and I got to deal with that. That's just the truth of the matter. Do you know the Apostle Paul dealt with that in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 1 through 16? Just dealing with life. And Paul would say, though our outward man is perishing, our inward man is being what? Renewed what? Day by day. Well, how do I do that? Friends, it's through the reading and studying and meditation and application of the Word of God. We get tired. And so what would Paul say on one occasion? Don't grow weary in well-doing. Sometimes we get tired. Number three, do we have the time to offer our presence to help our fellow man? Do we even have time? Sometimes we don't even have time. Luke 10, 31 to 33, you have the priest, the Levite, and the Samaritan. And it's interesting, all three saw that man, but only one man did something with what he saw. We can't be that busy that we can't help our fellow man and at least make some type of positive, Christ-like impact on San Angelo. We're here. We're the Ninth and Main Church of Christ. If anything, we ought to be able to offer them four things. Four things we can offer. Number one, we can offer them conviction. You know what? What do we believe? What do you believe? Are you fully persuaded in your own mind? Romans 14 and verse 5. But look at 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 12. Because they need to see our true convictions toward God, toward his son, toward the word of God, toward the church, toward our fellow man. People don't care what you know until they know that you care. But are we fully persuaded? Are we fully persuaded that the Lord actually established his church? Are we fully persuaded that we're supposed to be a moral people? Are we fully persuaded that we're supposed to go into all the world and preach the gospel and give individuals opportunity? Are we fully persuaded that we're supposed to intercede for people? When people ask for prayer, do we really pray for them? Do we stop and pray for them right then? Friends, we can make a great impact on the place where we live and the society that we're in. Notice what Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 12. He says, for this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. Paul said, I know, I'm persuaded. You wasn't going to get Paul off track, if you will. Are we convicted? Number two, our commitment. What about our commitment? Are we committed? Friends, we need to be committed. San Angelo must see our willingness to follow Christ daily in our homes, our extracurricular activities, our speech, and our love toward God and toward the brethren and toward our fellow man. And so it caused me to think about what Paul did as it relates to Acts 21. Turn there real quick. Acts 21. I love this text. I remember when I first came across this text, And think about how those individuals, those people, those men, they loved Paul so much, Brother Brian, that they were trying to keep Paul from doing what he needed to do. And Paul would say, oh, you're breaking my heart with your tears. But Paul said, I got something to do. I got somewhere to go. There are some things that we just need to be committed to. We need to be committed to marriage. We need to be committed to the church. We need to be committed to righteousness. We need to be committed to helping people to be better. We need to be committed. Can't be in and out, vacillating, tossed to and fro by every wind of teaching. So in Acts chapter 21, verses 10 through verse number 14, notice what your Bible here says. Acts 21, starting in verse number 10. And as we stayed many days, a certain prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. When he had come to us, he took Paul's belt, bound his hand and feet, and said, thus the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt. Now think about this. And deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. Now, when we heard these things, both we and those from that place pleaded with him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, what do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? For I'm ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. Paul says, I'm ready to go. There are some things, friends, that should not stop us from doing God's will. But look at verse 14. So when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying the will of the Lord be done. That should be our attitude. Our attitude ought to be that I'm committed and I'm going all the way. I'm not going to stop until I hear well done. I'm going all the way. Our character, they ought to be able to see our character. San Angelo must experience true and honest character when encountering a member from 9th and Main. They should see Christ in us, and though they may disagree with our morals, our values, our convictions, they cannot discount our character, our commitment to Christ, his church, and willingness to impart help to our fellow man. You don't have to believe and agree with everything that I say. However, if I believe something, if I'm convicted on something, it ought to be with a thus saith the Lord, what the word of God says. And so 1 Peter chapter 2, 11 and 12. And even though evil may be spoken about us, our character ought to stand tall. And finally, the fourth thing we can offer San Angelo, we can offer them Christ. San Angelo ought to see our willingness to follow Christ. They should see how we would handle situations, circumstances, and even positive opportunities to better ourselves and to better them, to better their thinking, to better their living, to better our living, and also to better our spirituality, to follow the Christ. 1 Corinthians 11, verse number 1. People ought to see that. You go to work, you're around people, they ought to hear your speech. And they ought to be able to say, you've been around Jesus. Friends, I said all of that to say as it relates to people bringing all manners of diseases and sick people to Jesus, he took that as an opportunity to glorify God, to make people's lives better, to bring men and women to repentance. And so, friends, we ought to offer opportunities as well to people. We ought to offer opportunities to people by just praying with them, studying with them, listening to them, interacting personally with them, crying with them, showing them that we truly care. There ought to be a difference between the people of God and the people of the devil. There ought to be a difference, right, Leon? There ought to be a difference. And if not, why not? There ought to be a difference. They ought to see the consistent character of the child of God who is in the Word of God, applying it to their lives, and to live for the one that died for them. They ought to be able to see that all the time. They ought to see that. And so we can show people genuine concern, godly communication, and generous character. We can show them that. They ought to be able to see it in our relationships to the best of our ability. And I understand what the scriptures say. As much as lies within you, live at peace with all men. I understand that passage. Everybody you can't get along with. Everybody's not going to like you. And Jesus would say war unto you if all men speak well of you. I get it. But we ought to do our part. We ought to be a presence that when people, when they hear your name, and where you attend services, they ought to be able to say, are there more people like you over there? They ought to be able to say that. Hey, we got a couple job openings. Do you have more people over there like you? People come to work on time. People who are always trying to see the best. People who are not fudging numbers. People who tell it like it is, even when it hurts people at times. Friends, we can make a powerful impact for the Lord and his church in San Angelo. But we got to be real with ourselves, got to be real with the Lord, got to be real with each other. And sometimes people don't like that. That's not really your problem. Your problem is when you're not real. Or when you're real Monday, but not real Tuesday. And people see the inconsistency. One thing about the gospel meeting that is about to take place with the Ladies' Day on the 19th through the 23rd, with the gospel meeting with Brother Orr, Brother Vasquez, and Brother Spiro, they're going to be giving us practical things that we can use on a daily basis. Why? Because the Lord is giving increase. And so we end with these words. We want to invite people to everything that we have. We want to make sure that they have an opportunity to hear what thus saith the Lord. But more so, or furthermore, we want them to see Christ in us and that the truth of the gospel is being preached and lived. Friends, we have that responsibility, but it's a privilege. I will say this. What a blessing it is. And I'm not saying this because I'm G-Paul. But it's a blessing to hear crying babies. Fry Singer, we love them crying babies. They gotta cry. Come here. You can be yourself here. Just be like Christ when you come. Let's have a word of prayer. I'll offer the invitation. Let us stand, please. Let us stand. Holy God and Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Father, we're so thankful for the opportunity we have to worship you in spirit and in truth, to hear some practical things concerning the good that we can do in the town that we live in. We're thankful. We're thankful for the great example of your son, Jesus, who was able to take care of those who came to him to your glory and your honor. We pray to Father that we'll take those principles, the things that we can apply, and we apply them to our daily lives to help individuals outside the church, but also to encourage us who are in the church. We ask the Father that you grant us wisdom, help us to be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. And help us to be consistent with your word. When people see our lives, we pray that we're always on our best behavior, and when we're not, that we make those things right. We love you for your long-suffering and willingness to bring us to repentance through your good, through your goodness, through your grace. And we pray that we offer that to others. Father, help us to be transparent. Help us to be honest. Help us to be real with people. Help us to tell people how it is. Help us not to sugarcoat things. But Father, help us not to be mean. Help us to be upright. Help us to love you, your word, your son, the church, the world, in a way that we're bringing them to your son, Jesus the Christ. Forgive us for our shortcomings. Help us as we're just striving to do what is right. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. I want you to believe the gospel. The good news of Jesus Christ suffering, bleeding, and dying on the cross for our sins. Repent of your sins. Confess Christ to be Lord. Be buried in water for the remission of your sins, and God will add you to his son's church, the church of Christ. Maybe a child of God, and you just haven't been a good influence in your neck of the woods where God has planted you, your job, your home. Let's make that right. Let's humble ourselves, and let's just make it right. People would rather you just say, you know what, I didn't do that right. And they'll have a lot of respect for you if you just say, you know what, I didn't do that right. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have been that. As we sing our Savior's invitation.